where Greg had taken them immediately after their arrival. Joanna sat between her two sons, facing Anson across the table. Cardenas's and Zimmerman's luggage was still at the reception area out at the rocket port. "I don't know if it's political asylum or what," said Chris Cardenas, "but we want the freedom to continue our research."
"And our teaching," interrupted Zimmerman.
Cardenas nodded, "and our teaching."
"And you can't do it Earthside?" Doug asked.
"Not once this treaty goes into effect," said Zimmerman heavily. "All research on nanotechnology will be banned. Teaching also."
Joanna saw the despair in his fleshy face. She had never considered how the nanotech treaty would affect researchers like Zimmerman and Cardenas. Greg steepled his fingers before his face and looked at Anson.
"Ginny, don't tell me you're seeking asylum, too."
She grinned mischievously.
"Nope. I just wanted to talk to you and Mrs. Stavanger about getting transferred to some place where my husband can teach without the new morality on his back."
"What does he teach?" Joanna heard herself ask.
"English literature," Anson replied. "Specializes in Marlowe, the Elizabethan, not the detective."
No one laughed.
"Why don't we invite him here?" Doug asked.
"Here?" Greg demanded. "To Moonbase? We can't afford to carry non-productive people here. What would we do with an English lit professor?"
"Start a university," said Doug.
"What?"
Gesturing toward Zimmerman and Cardenas, Doug said, "We have two of the world's greatest nanotech researchers, don't we? Let Ginny's husband teach English lit from here. Bring up a few other teachers and researchers. Moonbase can start its own university, and people will pay good money to study here."
"But the transportation costs," Joanna pointed out.
Doug gave her a patient smile.
"Mom, I'm studying at Caltech and the Sorbonne and the American University in Rome, all without leaving Moonbase. People on Earth can study with our faculty the same way."
"Electronically."
"Virtual reality when you need it," said Doug.
Greg seemed intrigued despite himself.
"You mean we could make a profit out of a university?"
"Of course," said Zimmerman. "We can make this miserable collection of caves into a great intellectual center."
Greg turned to his mother questioningly. Joanna leaned close enough to whisper into his ear.
"Don't fight it. Take the credit for it."
He smiled and thought, "As long as Kiribati doesn't sign the UN treaty, I can start the university here and transfer it to the islands when I close Moonbase." Melissa had easily eluded Rashid's attempts at romance during their first dinner together in his tent. She had talked nothing but business and learned more about the rumors of building a new type of clipper ship out of diamond using nanomachines. Rashid, ardently wanting to impress her, had blithely laid out everything he had heard about the scheme at her feet. His reward was a brief kiss goodnight and the vague promise of delights to come. Melissa dared not report back to General O'Connor or her cohorts at the Urban Corps headquarters in Atlanta. The only communications links on the storm-ravaged atoll belonged to Masterson Corporation. She wasn't prepared to take the risk of being overheard. Instead, she tried to think out a plan of action for herself. The nanotech scheme had to be stopped, preferably nipped in the bud. Greg Masterson must be behind it, she reasoned. He always was fascinated with nanotechnology. Another reason to ban it everywhere. If they actually succeeded in making this breakthrough in spacecraft manufacturing with nanotechnology, it would be a body blow to the UN treaty. Greg could sit up there at Moonbase and build spacecraft and make billions. These people here in Kiribati would get rich. Then they would start using nanomachines to manufacture other things. Automobiles, perhaps. Aircraft, certainly. Who knew what else? The nanotech treaty would be a shambles, a mockery. All because this little island nation could be bribed into resisting the will of the people, the mandate of God. All because of Greg, she knew. He's sitting up there, above us all, laughing at us. Laughing at me. I've got to stop Greg, Melissa told herself. I've got to tear him down from his throne in the sky. I've got to wipe out Moonbase. Her only tool, she realized, was Rashid. He invited her to dinner the next night, but she refused. Again the following night, and she refused again. But by the third night, Melissa had done enough research into Rashid's own personal and corporate life
so that the beginnings of a plan had started to form in her mind. When he oh so casually asked her if she would like to keep him company during dinner, she accepted. His answering smile pleased her. In place of candles, Rashid's tent was lit by battery-powered fluorescent lamps. His table was still meager. Supplies had to be flown in from Hawaii. Yet Melissa could see the effect he was trying to create. A romantic dinner for two, alone from the rest of the world. Instead of the usual slacks and shirt, Rashid wore a flowing white robe with gold embroidery and a cloying musky cologne that made Melissa's nostrils twitch. She half expected to hear reedy Middle Eastern music. Instead, the background was the rhythmic beating of the surf against the reef out beyond the island. "And how is your wife today?" Melissa asked coyly as they sat at the folding table facing each other. Rashid smiled blandly. "I've been much too busy to speak with her today. I'll call tomorrow." Nodding understandingly, she asked, "Muslims are allowed four wives, aren't they?" He seemed pleased that she knew. "The Quran allows four, yes, but the laws of the United States make polygamy illegal." With a slight frown, Melissa said, "Secular law shouldn't be placed above religious law. Don't you agree?" "In this case, I agree wholeheartedly." Melissa looked down at her dinner, a prepackaged meal heated in the portable microwave oven. We might as well be aboard an airliner, she thought. The natives who had returned to the island were catching fresh fish in the lagoon, although the papaya and mango and other fruit trees had been stripped by the typhoon's winds, if not flattened altogether. Rashid did not offer wine. Neither of them imbibed. Instead, they drank clear water produced by the desalinization plant that had finally gone into operation. Slowly, as they ate and chatted, Melissa brought the subject around to Moonbase. "I just don't understand how the corporation can risk so much of its resources on a totally unproven scheme," she said. "Unproven?" "The idea of manufacturing clipper ships with nanomachines," Melissa said. "Nanotechnology isn't really that reliable. It's dangerous, in fact." "They use nanomachines at Moonbase all the time." "Yes, of course," she said. "But only for the simplest of tasks, like taking oxygen out of the regolith. When it comes to trying to build the mass driver, they're having trouble, aren't they?" Rashid's eyes narrowed slightly. "You're very well informed." "I am your assistant," said Melissa. "It's my job to know what you need to know."
"Yes."
"And it worries me," she went on, "that your whole standing in the corporation hangs on this crazy scheme. How on earth did you ever agree to be part of it?"
His brow knit more deeply. "I really had no choice. I was transferred here on the orders of Joanna Stavanger."
"Isn't she Greg Masterson's mother?" Melissa asked innocently.
"Yes, and he's the director of Moonbase."
"But you're his superior. He reports to you in the corporate chain of command."
His nostrils flaring slightly, Rashid muttered, "Not for long, I imagine. He'll be sitting on the board of directors before I do, no doubt."
"Because of his mother?"
"Why else?"
"But she's retired, hasn't she?"
"She's living up at Moonbase, too. She's still on the board of directors, and still very powerful."
Melissa took a sip of water, then asked, "So, because of this woman, you must risk your career?"
Stiffening, Rashid replied, "I wouldn't put it just that way."
"But suppose Kiribati decides one day to sign the UN treaty. What happens then?"
"That won't happen."
"No one expected New Zealand to sign the treaty, but they did. What if Kiribati does, too?"
Rashid puffed out a breath. "The whole scheme collapses like a house of cards."
"And yet you have the key to the corporation's salvation in your hands, don't you?"
"I do."
"Fusion power," said Melissa. "The secret of the stars brought to Earth."
"Ah, yes. Fusion. Yes, I had great hopes for it." His face darkened again. "Before I was assigned to the Kiribati Manufacturing and Entertainment Corporation." He pronounced the words with clear disgust.
"And what's happening with the fusion development program?" Melissa asked.
"Nothing. It's dead in the water. If the corporation would only put some funding behind the effort."
She reached across the table to put her hand on his. "Why don't you move in that direction?"
"I can't," he said.
I've got to get this miserable resort complex up and going.